Thank you. Let us join our hearts and spirits together as we confess our sins so that we prepare ourselves. Be ready to hear what God has to say to us. The grace of God is with you. Christ Jesus, our teacher and Savior. We have not listened for your word amid the clamor of words all around us. We are more pleased to repeat familiar tunes and to listen for new melodies and strange harmonies. We try harder to defend what we think we know and to reach for that which is beyond our grasp. Slow to trust, afraid of the unknown. We are cautious to hear you and do your will. We pray for ears to hear the cries of our neighbors and for hearts which resonate words of faith, hope, to see the songs, see the words. There is no greater joy in the heart of God than the moment when a daughter or son comes, opens to the gift of forgiveness. God's Spirit reaches out to assure us of welcome in Christ.
Let us pray. As we rise in the morning, beloved one, may we don the garments of your truth. May we wear the mantle of protective blessing and shoes that will guide us on your path. May our breath be a prayer so that we might truly and fully proclaim the mystery of the gospel. It is through you and with you that we design our everyday. Amen. A New Testament reading from the letter of James. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect give, is from above, coming down from the Creator of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of God's own purpose, God gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of God's creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not serve God's harmony. Therefore, rid yourselves of every bit of filth in you, every vestige of hurtfulness, and humbly welcome the word God has planted in you, which has the power to save you. Be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they look like. But those who are mindful of the perfect law of God's freedom and actively put it into practice, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. Those who do not control their tongues deceive themselves. They may think they are religious, but their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the life-giver, is this: to care for orphans and widows in their need, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The word of God for the people of God.
Let us hear some words from the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Some Pharisees and teachers of the law had come from Jerusalem, gathered around Jesus. They noticed that some of his disciples were eating their food with hands that were ritually unclean. That is, they had not washed them in the way the Pharisees said people should. For the Pharisees, as well as the rest of the Jews, follow the teaching they received from their ancestors. They do not eat unless they wash their hands in the proper way. Nor do they eat anything that comes to the market unless they wash it first. And they follow many other rules which they have received, such as the proper way to wash cups and pots and copper bowls and beds. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why is it that your disciples do not follow the teaching handed down by our ancestors, but instead eat with ritually unclean bread?" And Jesus answered them, "How right Isaiah was when he proclaimed about you, 'You are hypocrites.' Just as he wrote, 'These people,' says God, 'honor me with their words, but their heart is really far away from me. It is no use for them to worship me because they teach human rules as though they were my laws.'" And then Jesus called the crowds to him once more and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand, there is nothing that goes into you from the outside that can make you ritually unclean. Rather, it is what that comes out of you that makes you unclean." When he left the crowd and went into the house, his disciples asked him to explain this saying. "You are no more intelligent than the others," Jesus said to them. "Don't you understand? Nothing that goes into you from the outside can really make you unclean, because it does not go into your heart, but put into your stomach and then goes out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared that all foods are fit to eat. And he went on to say, "It is what comes out of you that makes you unclean. From the inside, from your heart, come the evil ideas which lead you to do immoral things, to rob, to kill, to commit adultery, be greedy, and do all sorts of evil things. Deceit, indecency, jealousy, slander, pride, and folly. All these things come from inside you and make you unclean." This is the word of God for the people of God. It's nice to be back with you folks in a little while. I'm sure you want to keep Steve and his family in our prayers. I've done that moving of kids around a few times. And I really am thankful it's him and not me this time. You know, when I first read our lessons from Scripture this morning, I thought, wow, I'm sure I know who they're pointed at. People using laws to cover up their lack of caring, even their mistreatment of others. People, you know, our politicians, using slander and lies and untruth and deceit and nasty attacks, claiming to be religious, but not taking care of the most needy in our country. I know who those lessons are pointed at. But over the years, I have learned that when the lessons seem so blatantly clear to me to be pointing to someone else, that is when I need to stop and reflect, to back off, to take another look. You know, kind of let the lessons marinate in me, marinate me, to reflect, to see how they might be pointing in some other direction, maybe even back to me. To listen to them, you know, to reflect, to take them in. And so, when is my own rigidity, my own unyielding commitment to some principle, some law, keep me from seeing a bigger picture, a broader understanding. Maybe it is as misguiding as were those early Pharisees and religious teachers. After all, just think about it. We now serve juice, not wine. We now serve even unleavened bread, all kinds of bread these days. Some of us even welcomed women into ordained ministry. Isn't that amazing? And maybe LGBTQ folks as well. Yet some of us still struggle with those possibilities. You see, that's been our United Methodist history all our lives. Some of us say, no way, no how. It's been part of our struggle. Jesus, you see, couldn't even have found a way to feed the 5,000 if you had a hold to that washing your hands in a certain way. So when I read this, I'm always reminded of the time I went to lunch with a Jewish student at Drew University who became a friend of mine. We went to his aunt's home, and I tried to make sense of my friends rummaging around in the kitchen, trying to find out which pot and pans and dishes we could use so that we could honor that season of his aunt's keeping a religious law that she so faithfully followed. It is what Jesus was confronting. So, I asked myself, what are the laws I blindly follow? What traditions and what ones are really I'm ready to violate, to compromise, to reinterpret? What is coming out of me, maybe even this morning, that is inconsistent with what I believe? When I am critical of our president in one way, in another, where do I become so rigid myself that I do harm? When I am critical of our conservative evangelical sisters and brothers, am I also working to free our United Methodist Church from its homophobic legalities? And am I able to listen with some compassion when our African and Filipino church folks continue in the homophobic stance while our church continues to embrace a prevalent systemic racism in all of our country? Our church, you know, split over racism many years ago. And will it do so again this March when the General Conference meets around the issue of gender rights and equality? To whom is Jesus speaking, and whom is the author of James speaking as well? You see, I think that they're both trying to put something into us, at least into me, so that what then comes out will be more understanding and more caring and more loving and more faithful and more compassionate. They are both trying to teach the Word of God in such a way as to heal my soul here, heal all of our souls, to enliven our hearts, open us up to the possibilities of faithfulness. Some of us have been attending meetings to set up two clinics to deal with the immigration crisis in our country. JAFON, you probably heard about it, Justice for Our Neighbors. See, our federal administration is applying the law in increasingly brutal fashion. So how do we help folks negotiate the law in such a way as to minimize its damage, even while we seek to change the law, at least to get a new interpretation? In this situation, when are we the Pharisees And when are we the followers of Jesus? And so as I reflected on all of this, what struck me is that what goes into us is also equally important. When someone speaks to me, it shapes how I speak. When someone acts in a certain way, it shapes how I act. You see, we ought to be those folks who pass on the good gifts of God that the Bible always talks about. To struggle with and proclaim the truth, to be loving and caring and generous not only to widows and orphans, but to all of the needy folk. To challenge that which corrupts and harms and kills. But then also, to uphold the law that frees. To make sure that what comes forth from us will be nourishing for those it goes into. My sister is often ready to remind me that our parents raised us so that, as she frames it, we are comfortable in our own skins. We are comfortable in our own skins. We were loved. We were really loved. Unconditionally. Through our screw-ups and disappointing them, we did that really very well. And our successes. What came out of them into us helped us feel blessed. They embodied the Holy Word for us. They profoundly shaped what comes out of us even now. So when I first read these lessons, they seem to be addressed to the wicked. You can name your own. I know who I would name. But the marination process reminded me that they're also addressed to the wise. I can name my own. You can name yours. And so I need to be, at least myself, to be alert and conscious about what I take in so that I can be faithful about what I send out. It is not just the law. It is how I understand and live it. To make certain that everyone gets adequately fed in every single way, even those with unwashed hands. Let us pray. Gracious God, we do thank you for all the ways in which you continue to address us, to stand with us, to hope with us, to provide us another chance, another opportunity to be faithful. Help us, Lord, to listen to the word which we read called the Bible in such a way that it informs who we are so that we can become those who speak it forth in the spirit and name of Jesus Christ, in whose name always that we pray. Amen.